worship songs we've sung unto you. God, I pray in Jesus' name that, Lord, that as we come to open your word and settle in your word, that God, that you'd speak to us. Just as you're already speaking, Lord, through every word that was sung today, every word on the screen, that, Lord, that you are this great God who is not finished with us. That, God, that you finish what you start. That if I'm not dead, you're not finished with me yet. And I want to thank you for the great promise of this, the things that we saw last week, the things that we'll see this week concerning these things, Lord, that you are not finished with your people yet. No matter how old, no matter how young, no matter the failure, no matter the past, you're not finished. This is the God that you are. And I want to pray, God, for that kind of hope today, that kind of anticipation, Lord, over this body of believers and the family members here that are here today, the friends of Cottonwood. And I pray for those that are watching online, those who might be hearing this at another place. I ask in Jesus' name that you'd settle upon us, settle upon your word, because we believe that your word will not return void, but will accomplish exactly what you desire in this place, in every heart, in every soul, in every mind. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Wasn't that just a great worship time? Thank you, Lance, for just, and Shelley, for just, lap offering. I want to share a couple of things from last week. And so I'm going to preach like I never mentioned that last week, because there's a lot of you here today that weren't here last week. And last week we began speaking about this thought that Jesus never stops using you and you never stop following him. Never. I mean, when God calls you, he calls you to your last breath. He doesn't just kind of put you on a shelf somewhere when you're done. Because you're not done if you're in Christ until you breathe your last. And I don't care how sick somebody might be or how much the mind we might lose in our old age, our God is not finished. If you're still breathing, he's using you and wanting to use you for the glory of God. And the question that we ask today as we look at these two principles, Jesus never stops using you and you never stop following him. I mean, this is the whole basis of the covenant that God makes with his children, where he says, I'll never leave you or forsake you, nor will I ever, ever cease to sustain you. I'll never stop giving you grace. I'll never stop giving you mercy. I'll never stop giving you power. You are always going to be used for my glory. The question is will we line up to that in this life? Will we line up to what God says and believe what God says? The question is, do you believe that Jesus never stops using you and you never stop following him? Do you believe that today? Amen. Amen. He does never stops. His love never gives up is a song that we sing. And as we sang just a minute ago or sung just a moment ago, and you've heard it in my prayer, if you're still breathing, if you're still alive, he's not finished with you yet. Amen. Amen. There's this great passage of scripture that we looked at. I want us to look at it briefly. You might want to go back on the app or live stream and watch this. Because the Bible speaks about Jesus, Matthew speaks of Jesus in chapter 12, verse 15, and it says, but Jesus, aware of this, withdrew from there, and many followed, and he healed them all. And he warned them not to tell who he was, but this was to fulfill what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet. Behold, my servant whom I've chosen, my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased. I'll put my spirit upon him, and he shall proclaim justice to the Gentiles. He'll not quarrel about it. He'll not cry out about it. Nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. A battered reed he will not break off. And a smoldering wick he will not put out. Until he leads justice to victory. And in his name the Gentiles will hope. This great promise that no matter where you've been,
No matter what your past is, no matter what failure you saw or did or accomplished in past life, and no matter how long you walked in that sin, no matter how long you walked in that darkness, no matter how long that failure was, if you're in Christ, He will never, ever, ever snuff you out. He says it like this, a smoldering wick. Even when it's smoldering, even in your pain, even in your loss, even when you think it's done, it's over. He doesn't take his lips like his tongue like this and puts it on the wick or blow it out. Matter of fact, our great God is such a great God that He comes along and He says enough, and He begins to blow the wick. He begins to blow it. He begins to put oxygen to it so that it flames up. Because why? Because you're the light of the world. That's why. You're the light of the world. And you are a light of the world the moment you come to Jesus and the day you die. The Bible says that a bruised reed He will not cut off. A broken reed He will not break off. And we talked last week about how a reed is used in musical instruments. And no matter how off key you are, no matter where you've been, God's song in you is still the same. Amen. This God of yours will not snuff you out or break you apart. This great God of ours wants to continue to use you. When Jesus said to the disciples in Matthew chapter 3, I believe 14, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Do you think that's just for a season? Do you think that's just for a few years? And then you grow old and retire from the kingdom of God? No, you never retire from the kingdom of God. You never, ever retire from the kingdom of God. Jesus never stops using you, no matter your past, no matter your age, no matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, no matter your failure. You're not finished. He's not finished until you breathe your last. The promise of God is this. Jesus never stopped using you, and you never stop following Him. How do we see that? Look in Romans chapter 11, verse 26. Romans chapter 11, verse 36. I'm sorry, 26. This great passage of Scripture that speaks to us about when God calls us and when God calls us and when God gifts us, He never regrets it. He never takes it back. Notice the scripture. Verse 26, all Israel will be saved, just as it is written. The deliverer, that's Jesus, will come from Zion. He will remove ungodliness from Jacob. This is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. And then he goes on and he says, for the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. When you came to Jesus, you were called to what? Salvation. You were called to sanctification, holiness. You were called to forgiveness and redemption. You were called to Him Himself. You were called to Him, and He never takes it back. It's irrevocable. And then He gifts you. He may gift you with a gift of prophecy or a gift of teaching or a gift of service or a gift of giving or a gift of helps or a gift of leadership or a gift of mercy. These things that motivate you and are supposed to motivate you in the kingdom life so that you never, ever stop following, never, ever stop being used by God. Now, that's the review from last week. The question that I want to ask today is, what's the pathway to that? How do we do that? How do we line up to what God says? That He's not going to snuff you out. That He's not going to break you apart. That the gifts and callings are irrevocable. You know, I think that the first thing is that I want to believe it. I want to believe it with all my heart and all my being. And you may be here today off of a season that's not been good, that's been tough, that's been rough, that's been hard, a season of loss, a season of sin, a season of failure. And you're tired and you're weary. And I want to say, I don't care how weary you are or how tired you are. If God's not finished with you, he wants to do something with the weariness to get it away from you so that you can find the strength of the Lord to no longer feel weary. How many of you have said that in the last few months? I'm just weary. I'm just tired. I've said it. But yet this God comes with the gifts and the callings of God and with the Spirit of the living God to empower you so that you never stop being used by God and you never stop following him. Because I'm going to tell you, if you're following Jesus, you're going to hear Jesus. And if you're following Jesus, you're going to see Jesus. And if you're following Jesus, you're going to hear and see, and you're going to imitate and do what Jesus does. Amen. Or you're not following him. And maybe that's something that you need to discover. That's the thing you need to ask. That's the thing you might need to confront yourself with. Am I really following him? Am I really becoming what he desires me to be in this life? Not only in this life, but in the local church that I'm in. And that I do I love the church? And do I love what God loves? And am I giving my life to that? Am I giving my life to the service of the church? Because this is a part of who we are. The Bible says you're the body of Christ. We're members of one another, and he being the head of the body. So don't ever say, I don't want to do anything with the church, but I'll just love God. No, we love what God loves, and he loves his church, which are you and with me. And let's get on that page. Amen. That page. When I look at this thought, I just say, God, I want to believe this. I want to believe this when I'm sick. I want to believe this when I'm aged. I want to believe this when I'm old and my voice is just still, it's gotten hoarse and it never goes, the hoarseness never goes away. I want to do that even when I might be struggling in a season of arthritis or hard diagnosis. The thought is that I'm alive. You're not finished with me yet. And I want to make that commitment now while I'm healthy. And I want to make that commitment now because you never stop following Jesus. Amen. You never stop. Now, your assignment might change, but you never stop. You never stop following him. He never stops using you. Well, I believe this. So believe that Jesus never stops using you and you never stop following him. And then, because you believe it, never stop following him. Just never put on the pause button. Oh, you might rest and find a season of rest, but you're not putting your life on pause. You're moving to the next thing that God's called you to. The next growth, the next glory, the next moment of maturity in your life. Because God knows if he's called you, he's gifted you and equipped you to follow the call. When's the last time you've given testimony of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ to somebody that's lost? When's the last time you let your light shine? When's the last time that you've been a salt to somebody where you've either just walked into their lives and just kind of began to minister and season their lives, and their lives have been changed because of you? And you didn't have to take him to the preacher. You didn't have to take her to the preacher's wife or the staff person. No, you did it. You did it because you're gifted. You're equipped. You've got everything you need to give witness and testimony of our great God. Maybe you need to hear that today. Maybe you need to hear it right now and again. You know it in your knower. You know it. You've heard it. You understand it. And you might even say, I know that. But let me ask you, do you know it and are you following it? Because like I said last week, there's some of us in this place that ought to be teachers by now. That's what Paul said. There'd be teachers by now. You never stop. We must believe it. Second, never leave your first love. I think I changed that up, but go on to number two and we can do that.
Go on to the second one in my notes. Yeah. Next one, number two. Greg. Okay. Number two. So I keep the main thing. Okay, that's in your notes. And what that means is I've got to love, and the love, first of all, is we call it the great commandment, is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and then to love your neighbor as yourself. I was going to say that this is one of the main things of the Christian life. This is how we glorify God. This is how we point to Him. We love Him. And we seek Him first, and we love Him most. When you first came to Jesus, what was that like? For most of us, it was a very exciting time. Matter of fact, it was an awesome time. We came to Jesus, and it was new, and it was fresh, and it was alive, and it was glorious. And God had saved me from my sin, and I knew it. And God began to change me and began to transform me. And why was that? Because I came to know Him, and to know Him is to love Him. And the Scripture speaks of this thought of never leaving your first love. Matter of fact, you find this in Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. I'm sorry, chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2, verse 1, to the message of the church at Ephesus. And if you have your Bibles, go on and turn there. It's good to look at it on your Bible where it's written there so that the word can just not just jump off the screen to you, but jump off the page and get into your heart. He says to the church at Ephesus, verse 2, I know your deeds. I know your toil. I know your perseverance. And you can't tolerate evil men. And you put to test those who call themselves apostles. And they're not. And you found them to be false. And you have perseverance and have endured for my name's sake and have not grown weary. But I have this against you. Isn't that something? Now, here's a church that had discernment. Here's a church that had perseverance. Here's a church that had patience. Here's a church that did not tolerate the evilness of the culture. Here's a church that didn't tolerate that. Here's a church that just put leaders to the test. Here's a church that had discernment. Here's a church that had some holiness about them. And yet, what does God say? What does Jesus say? Yet, I have this against you. I look at that and I say, what are you talking about? We're doing all this good stuff. Do you know that you can do all good stuff the rest of your life apart from your first love, Jesus? Do you know you could do that? And He says, you have left your first love. You've got another affection going on. You got another thing of affection going on in your life. And you've left it. Verse 5, He says this, remember, therefore, where you have fallen, and repent, and do the first deeds, or else I'm coming to you, and I'll remove your lampstand. I'll remove your witness out of its place unless you repent. I believe, the reason why so many of us come to the place that feels that God is through with us, and that we're not being used by Him, and that it doesn't seem like we're following Him because we've done this. We've left our first love. You know, I love this passage of Scripture because He tells us the problem and then He tells us what to do. He tells us to remember where we've fallen. When was it at that moment in time and place that you decided to put your affection on something else greater than your affection on God? What was it? When was it when you stopped doing the first things? And you say, well, what are the first things? Well, let me ask you a question. If you've ever fallen in love, do you remember what was going on in your lives? Now think about that for a moment. You fell in love. You loved her and she loved him. And you fell in love. Well, how did you fall in love? And how did it become that first in your life? That woman, that man became first in your life. It's because you did some first things.
And the first thing in falling in love is that what? It's called this thing called time. You gave time to each other. You gave time and you communicated together. When you got to know each other, you shared what who you were, where you were from, and all those good things, and she shared it or he shared it back. And you communicated, and you were so interested, and then you got infatuated, right? You say, well, we just fell in love. No, you got infatuated first. And let me just say this. It's called limerence. Look it up. And it's a good thing, okay? It's a great thing. Don't be afraid of someone saying, oh, you're just infatuated. Say, you bet I'm infatuated. I'm still infatuated after 40 years. Amen. Yeah. Amen? Still infatuated with John Ann. Still, after all these years. Infatuation's a good thing. And maybe that's what he's talking about. You lost your infatuation with the number one thing that's supposed to be in your life, and that's your God, your Savior, your Lord. That's why I want to just say this. I'm going to just kind of chase a little rabbit here. Hope I don't chase him long. That's why Jesus is the one and only. That's why he's the only way to the Father. That's why he said it. Because if there's other ways, then I'm going to tell you, you're going to chase after those and you're going to leave your first love. You just are. You just are. And you know, when you came to Christ, just like when you came and fell in love, I mean, you just did these first things and you talked and you visited and you always caught up and you always promised your love and you always promised just the affection. And that's what you were. You were affection. And and you told everybody about him or you told everybody about her. You were excited about the new love. You were excited about this. And you wanted everybody to celebrate with you. Is that right? If that is, she should have never married you. You wanted to celebrate this love. You wanted to celebrate your new girlfriend, your new boyfriend, your new future. You wanted to celebrate it. And you wanted to tell everybody about it. I don't know about you. I came to Christ when I was 8 years old. It was familiar to me. But something happened between 8 and 10. And I just, something happened in my heart to where I just wanted to read about it. I just wanted to open my Bible. I just wanted to be in church where it was being taught. I just wanted to share about it. Matter of fact, I had the opportunity to lead a cousin to the Lord when I was in fifth grade. I wanted to tell him about this great God and Savior. Jesus Christ. First love. First things. You know, I think about the great commandment again, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. That's everything. And yeah, it is agape love, but I want to tell you it's also affectionate love. It's an affectionate love that God has for me as our heavenly dad. Because we saw a couple of weeks ago that, listen, we're no longer slaves of fear. We're sons and daughters of God. No longer slaves. And we have this spirit within us by which we cry out, Abba, Father. It's more than just agape. It's the phileo love. It's the brotherly love kind. It's the affectionate love that we have for him. And somehow what happens is we leave that. Oh, we're still in church. We're still busy. We're still doing our thing. Still studying for sermons. Still doing the things that I'm supposed to do as a pastor. But suddenly something happens. And I fall from that. And I get distracted. And it's not bad stuff. But something else gets my attention. Something else. That's why the third point of this is you've got to guard, listen to me, guard and work your heart. Guard and work your heart, because out of it flow the issues of life. You know, Jesus, in the parable of the soil and the sower and the seed of the Word of God, in Mark chapter 4, some of you know this is a very familiar passage of Scripture. And the story is told that this parable that's told is that there's a man. It's the kingdom of God, and it's the man. He's casting seed to plant, right? And some of the seed falls on the road, the hard ground, and the birds of the air come and pick it up. And then he sows some in the stony places. The Bible says it doesn't have root, and so it's only temporary. The sun comes up and scorches it, and just as immediately as it was, immediately it's gone. And he said, and some seed fell amongst the thorns, and it didn't have root either. And it sprung up, but the thorns choked it out. But then some seed, it fell in the fertile soil. And in the fertile soil, it planted and grew and grew, and it produced fruit. I'm just saying this. It grew and increased, and it yielded a crop, and it produced 30 and 60 and 100-fold. And they wanted to know what it meant. What does this mean? And I love the response, because it speaks to us today. It speaks to us when a man or a woman comes to Christ, and it also speaks to us when we're 8 years old in Christ, 8 year old in Christ, 20, 30, 40 year old in Christ. You've got to guard your heart. Because I know genuine believers in Christ whose hearts are hardened because of sin, or hardened because of past disappointments, or the things that have happened, of betrayals. And I've seen people with stony hearts and hearts with just the thorns in it. And the Bible says you've got to break up the fallow ground and get the stones out and get the weeds out. So in your Christian life, you can produce fruit. 60, 80, 100-fold. Notice what he says. He says in verse 13. Sorry. Do you not understand this parable? How will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. These are the ones who are beside the road where the word is sown. And when they hear, immediately Satan comes and takes away the word which has been sown in them. They don't come to Christ. The seed is put in their heart, but Satan comes and steals it. There's some of you in here today that the words come and you walk away from it and you forget it. You forget the commitment. You forget, oh, that's something I need to hear. And sometimes we'll do that as believers. We'll hear a message or a podcast or a devotion, and we say, oh, I'm hearing from God. I got to get up. I got to go do it. And then you walk out and you forget it, because Satan has stolen it. You've got to guard your heart. Cannot lose the first love. We do the first things, which is the first things, again, are what? I'm in the Word, and I'm doing the Word. And I can't wait to do the Word, because it's new and it's fresh, and I see God working. But somehow my heart gets hardened sometimes. It may be because I got disappointed in somebody at church, or the pastor disappointed me, or teacher disappointed me, and I let that simmer, and I let that marinate, and the next thing you know, I'm forgetting it, and then I'm walking in anger, or I'm walking in unforgiveness, or I'm walking in bitterness, and all of a sudden, I'm defiling people around me because I got my feelings hurt. You may be hearing this, that's happened to you. And I just say, what happens is that it doesn't, the word's not bearing fruit when I'm hardened. It never does. He goes on and he says, in a similar way, these are the ones on whom seed was sown on the rocky places. And when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. And they have no firm root in themselves, but they're only temporary. Because when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately they fall away. I don't know if you've ever done a study of Mark, but Mark likes that word immediately. It's laced all through there. This heart will hear something good and like it and say, oh, it makes me so joyful. But then when something comes my way, temptation, struggle, affliction, sickness or whatever it is, immediately I fall away from it. He says that the third soil is the third heart. These are the ones whom seed was sown among the thorns. They're the ones who have heard the word. But watch, the worries of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things enter into the word, in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. You know, I think about worries of the world, deceitfulness of riches, desire for other things. You know, I confessed a couple of weeks ago that one of my fears was having vision. Because I just didn't want to have a vision that would fail, or that I'd give up on, or that it wouldn't work. And so I found myself in recent years just kind of coasting, okay? Coasting. And I'll say this again. I don't feel like I've neglected my job here. I put in the hours, and I love it, and I see folks, and I see them all the time, and I see you all the time, and I'm doing things individually and those things, but I feel like I neglected the whole without casting vision. And one of the things about that confession was I got up the next morning after the time with the elders and then confessing this to you. And I got up the next morning, and I just want to be honest with you. Something in my heart says, nah, I don't want to do that. It was only a moment. I don't want to do that. And I just asked the question, God, what do I do? And I'm going to promise you, I believe this is what God said to me. Go do the first things. You're so busy wanting to make something happen that you've neglected my word personally and devotionally. You've stopped prayer walking the property. Do you know, when I was 28 years old, when there were 20 people coming to Cottonwood, I'd get up and I'd prayer walk this property. And I'd ask God to bring hungry people and hungry families who want to move on with him. That he'd bring the hurting, and he'd equip us to meet the needs of the hurting. And those are things that I prayed. And I prayed for a holiness, and I prayed that God would come and conform us into his image, and we'd be a people that loved well and glorified God. And I'd pray those things walking the property. And I got up Monday morning, and I go, God, what do I do? He said, do the first things. Go back to the first thing. Be infatuated with me again. Be infatuated with my word. Come to the place that you know that I'm going to give word to you, and you're going to grow, and you're going to move in that. You're going to move to the next levels of glory for me. Because it's not about growth, and it's not about keeping the growth. It's not about that. It's about us becoming like Jesus. And, you know, I just think that's a good place. But I was asking the question as I was looking at this passage this week, what are the desire of other things in my life that has choked the word? And I do really think, man, I'm 62 years old, and I've, you know, been here for 37 years and been doing ministry for 42 years. I'm just going to confess, I'm tired and weary. Tired and weary. Desire of other things. What if I just kind of did things here, you know, part-time and got to spend more time with my family? Well, that's not a bad thing. Desire for other things. It wasn't money. It wasn't prestige. It wasn't success. It just kind of seemed to me to be kind of a laziness, spiritual laziness, a spiritual contentment. And that's the wrong contentment that you want to have. A spiritual contentment. Bible says it like this, you're neither hot nor cold, and I'm just going to tell you, hot and cold is a good thing. I'll preach about that one day. You're lukewarm, I want to spit you out of your mouth. Lukewarm. Mediocre in my walk with God. And you know, it's not like God's here and then everybody else is way down here. No, it's kind of close. My love for God, my love for my wife, my love for the church, my love for the things of God, the kingdom of God and ministry and all those things. But all those good things can still become the God of your life. And that can become your first love. So walking this, that Monday, a few weeks ago, I was walking this property, and the property's gone from like 3 acres to 40 acres, so it's a little bit longer walk. But walking it and asking God, oh God, may I become infatuated again with you and the first things and the first love. And you know, worries of the world, we've all been there the last 2 years. The deceitful of riches, there's some of us in there that we're just, with everything we are, going after the buck, going after the next success, going after that. And you know, it'll deceive you because it's never enough. But the question this morning is will I go and move to the first love and do the first things? What would that mean for you today? What would that mean for you to go back to the first things? It means you get excited about the Word and excited about the Lord and excited about God using you. Excited about discovering your gifts. I don't know, made an announcement this morning about a 3-week intercessory prayer team. Share some things that are on my heart. I'll even send you my sermon notes before the sermon. I'll tell you what's on my heart for the next 3 weeks. How to pray for your community. How do we want to pray for the church? How do we want to pray for the communities? There's a sign-up sheet right back there. But be careful, because sometimes when you pray for these things, you're the thing that comes. You're the one that God raises up to fulfill the need that I believe is needed in our body today. And so maybe that's a place where you start. You just join us in praying. Join us in for 3 weeks in praying, asking God to do great and mighty things in our midst, in our communities. Maybe it is discovering, oh man, I just have this love for children that I just is gone, and I need to get that back. I need to get back in the nursery. Hey, there's some of you that are of grandparents that could give 1 week out of 6 weeks to go hold babies. Let me ask you a good question. What's wrong with that? To speak into those babies' lives, to pray over those babies so the babies can hear the music and just at the very beginning, the beginnings, to be able to touch that 4-year-old, that 5-year-old, to touch a Mavis, to be a part. But what I'm asking that God would do is that He'd awaken you to what is the first love of your life, which is Jesus, and what are the first things? And first things, I don't care where you come from, if you came to Christ, you started out with a love for the church. You started out with a love for the church and being involved in the church. You know, fourth point, I'm going to finish up with it. It's going to be really small, really short. Never excuse yourself from His invitation. The parable in Luke chapter 14 is that a man was given a dinner. That man's God. And he asked them, he told his folks, hey, the dinner's ready, go out, invite folks. But they all began making excuses. Here's the distractions of the world. One guy said, well, I have bought 4 oxen or 5 oxen or whatever, and I need to go try them out. Can you imagine not trying them out before you bought them? Or I bought a piece of property, and I got to go look at it, and I got to go tend to my property. I got to go tend to my stuff. I got to tend to my property. Third guy says, well, I've married a wife, and for that reason, I cannot come. Wow. Blame it on the wife. Just like Adam did. The woman that you gave to me, she deceived me. And I'm just going to say this, closing. Many of you have heard me say this. What is the last thing that God asked you to do concerning a message like this that you have not done? What's the last prompting? What's the last involvement? What's the last thing? And you look at that last thing and say, oh, that's an invitation. And I've excused myself because I'm too busy, or it's too far, or fill in the blank. Or I just feel so alone. I just don't feel heard. I don't feel this. I don't feel that. Never excuse yourself from His invitation. Do you know what He says to those people who refuse? They'll never get to taste of my dinner. you lose the opportunity to taste and see that he is good. Bow with me in prayer. Would you do that? Father, I just come before you in the name of Jesus. And I thank you for this pathway of faith. Some of us need to remember where we've fallen and repent and do the first things. And so, God, I pray we'd keep the main thing, that we'd never leave our first love, and that's you. And, Lord, I pray that we'd guard our hearts so that we have that fourth soil, a good, honest heart that produces fruit because we've heard the word and we follow it. And then, Lord, some of us in here, we've excused ourselves from the service of the kingdom of God. And I pray that that would stop today for your glory and for the benefit of every single man and woman watching and every single son and daughter that's on that square in that house. And that you'd prompt us, Lord, to do the things you've called us to do. And I want to thank you for how you're going to work and how you're going to meet us when we bring these things to you. And I ask this in Jesus' name and for his great sake. Amen and amen.